Why'd you say shit just now?
I don't know. I'm gearing up for what might be a downward spiral. Downward spiral of life.
Today's a very special day.
Why?
Because a very... Today. Not air day today, but record day today.
Uh-huh. You're scaring me.
It is the year that our very special... She shaves her grandma's cat.
Oh.
Was born.
Yes, Amanda.
Happy birthday, Amanda. Shaves her grandma's cat.
Yeah. No. But I was like, where are you going? I was like, well, I'm scared right now. Almost as scared as I was last night when we were supposed to have tornadoes and baseball-sized hail, and we got fucking nothings.
If you guys follow us on Instagram, you will see this beautiful video that Felicia sent me
yesterday.
Felicia
the weatherman.
And I'm like, if you don't post that.
She bullied me into it.
I did. I really did. Which is weird because I'm usually not the one that's like, post it.
Oh, yeah. But it was one of those, like, I had been seeing Meg on and off all day because our kids were hanging out. And yeah. I kept being like, but Meg, the Naders are coming.
The Naders are coming.
And I just decided, I was like, well, I got the mullet wig. May as well go out there and do it. And Lester's cigarette. That was so perfect. My kids freaked out, though. They were like, Mom, are you smoking? I was like, it's Lester's.
Fake.
It's fake. But yeah, they said all this, we were going to get baseball-sized hail. Mm-hmm. We knew the tornado thing was probably not going to happen. Hail was a decent chance.
We get hail here.
But nothing happened.
Nothing.
We didn't even lose power.
We didn't lose power. There was a couple
60-mile-an-hour
wind. There was no wind.
No wind. No, it was at like 4 o'clock. It started getting windy for a second or maybe 5 o'clock. And then it was like gone. But I mean, barely. Thunder and lightning a tiny bit. We were all just like waiting.
I was laying in my bed with one of my girls and we had the window open. We were waiting for the lightning and the thunder booms.
Yep. I was the same. I had all three girls up in my bed and we had the windows open. We were watching it. And we're all excited. And then I was in a group text with like Meg and Amanda and we're all
nothing.
Like, did you see this? And then all of a sudden it's like, fuck. I was watching the weather radar and I was like, nope, it's still coming. And then it literally like split and went around us. But then also no one that I haven't seen anything that it was any
They're playing
bad.
With our emotions.
I just, every time they tell us we're getting a storm, it makes me excited. And I just want
it's
a storm.
Cozy.
It is.
A nice thunder. We don't really have, back east, we had a lot of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Like that was a regular thing.
Yeah.
There's no like big, like maybe once or twice a year we'll hear your rumbles. That's
right.
It.
That's it. And I even, like Meg and I both, we don't normally park in the garage because we have, I mean, my studio's in the garage now, just bikes and kids shit. And you have a gymnastics bar for your kid. Anyways, and I was like, well, I'm making room in my garage to pull my car in. And she was like, fine, I guess I'll do it. Yeah. And then nothing happened. I cleared out the garage for fucking nothings. But
I mean, it got done.
Well, I mean, I didn't clean anything up. I just made room. Yeah. But I said that to you. I said, yeah. I was like, if we do it, nothing bad will happen.
That's
like
true.
The hail won't come. But if we don't, then the hail will come. That was my theory.
Yeah, it worked.
It did work.
It worked.
But then I was kind of sad because I wanted at least like a little bit of hail.
I didn't really want the hail.
Well, I wanted a thunderstorm.
Thunder.
Yeah, and in the wind and the kids were excited to lose power. Weird kids. Yeah.
Weird.
All right.
Weird.
You want a joke?
I do.
Okay.
Always.
Let's see here. Oh, gosh. That's not the joke. Hang on. Boop. There it is. Okay.
Boop. There it is. Okay. Nobody. All right. Fine.
Sorry. I was reading. Try again. Why do Scotsmen wear kilts?
Why?
Because a sheep can hear a zipper from 20 miles away. I meant meters, not miles, but still. Okay, one more.
That one's horrible.
What's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
I know this one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, say it.
I feel like we've said it before.
Yeah.
You can't hear a hormone.
You can't.
I mean an enzyme. Fuck, you can't hear an enzyme. But you can hear a hormone.
But you can hear,
yeah.
Yeah.
I got a few other ones, but we'll save it for the next.
Yeah, those are good. Those are solid.
Solid.
I have some I've been saving, but I didn't look at them beforehand, so there's no way I'm going
to
remember.
Just on and I found a new thread. Every time I find a new Reddit thread with new jokes, I get very excited.
Save it.
Throw them
save
in.
It.
Yep.
And
save
then.
It. Yep.
Well, hello and welcome to Lunatic Soup, the podcast where we go into all things wild, weird, and unknown. We're your host, Meg.
And I'm Raina, ready to brew up some Lunatic Soup.
Let's go.
This is how today is going to be.
This has been the weirdest, like, week for sleep.
I agree.
And I don't know if it's something in the cosmos, if it's like what's happening, but we've both really struggled with sleep this week.
No, I have like fucking failed horribly every night. One night I actually got a decent night of sleep. It wasn't last night, but the night before, only because I like drugged myself and knocked myself basically unconscious by like 9 p.m.
I mean, you do what you got to do.
But then I was groggy as hell the next day. But
yeah, that's why I have a hard time doing
that. Yeah, I know. It's
because you get groggy. And I would rather be tired from just not sleeping than be groggy tired from...
See, because I have ADHD meds and I have NAD now. Like, the you know, I do those NAD injections, which is like, I don't know, for my sickness, but it's amazing. But it clears my brain no matter what. So it makes the grogginess go away.
Oh, good.
Clears the brain fog, if you will.
Clears the brain.
All right, so today we are drinking. So on one of the other episodes, we had another cider from this one. I got it over in Spokane, Washington. We were there for my daughter's basketball thing. Inland Cider Mill, and this is their peach cider, which I think I told the story.
I went to some cider places this weekend up in Whidbey Island.
Oh, super my God, I'm so jealous. You guys are going to have so much fun.
I'm excited. My friend and I are doing a Practical Magic weekend up in Coopville, Washington.
It's going to be amazing.
And I've already been talking with our friend Allie down at Incline, who has a new venture.
Yes.
Big Cider Guy. Look them up on the interwebs on Instagram.
On the gram.
On the gram. And so I told her I was going to get some intel.
I love that.
Some intel.
I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Come back with ciders. Oh, all right.
Yes. All right.
This is, peach. And what's the percentage on this? 6.8%.
That's decent.
Decent. I think you are going to want to sour sled it, which we haven't sour sledded something in a long time.
We haven't sour
sledded I did bring lime
something.
Just in case. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bottoms up.
I mean, you go right in and the smell.
I know.
It's
intoxicating.
I don't think I need to sour sled it, but I want to just to see how different
it
would taste.
It's just so good.
It's really good.
This on a hot day.
This is a peach drink.
This is a full peach.
But it's not like, you know how you have like peach stuff sometimes and it's almost like the fuzzy peach?
Uh-huh.
That's not this.
Yeah.
This is just a solid peach.
It's
really good.
Fucking good. What, do you want to sour sled it or not?
I'm curious, but I think I'm going to drink some of it now and I'll sour sled it in a little bit.
I actually feel the same. I don't know that I want to.
I don't think I want. It's sweet, but I don't think it's so sweet that I need to. I don't know.
The last time I had it, I had a lime that was on my beer or on Texas beer or something. So I squeezed it in and it was good, but it was only a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
But also then I drank it afterwards fine. Like I had another one without
this. It was really good.
Delightful.
Really good. The place that I'm going to tomorrow, I forgot the name of it, but it has a lot of real dry ciders on top.
Oh, nice.
And that's my jam.
Yeah,
the ones super
with the
dry
Fireball. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
with,
the additive.
With the what?
Fireball. Bam, 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 bam. But it's the additive. They're better that way.
They are better. But I also just like dry ciders.
I know. Dry ciders are really good. I like dry ciders too.
They're more like a sipper.
Yeah, it's a sipper, and it's just, I mean, you and I both don't like things too sweet anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like if it's too sweet.
Unless it's like a tiramisu or a cannoli.
Well,
then I want that.
I'm talking about a drink. Well, I guess, it depends on the drink. But
you really like a cannoli.
But in and around your mouth. but no, cider-wise, I think we both prefer on the drier side of any cider. Like when it's too sweet,
sweet drinks, I really like a lemon drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are sweet. You don't like
sometimes? No, just sometimes they're straight like vodka-y.
Well,
that too. But you love a chocolate martini kind of thing, like a dessert drink.
Once in a while.
Yeah. That's me too. Like a espresso martini, something like that, once in a while.
Where your mom?
It was at Anthony's. It was for
it
my
was
birthday.
At Anthony's.
Yeah, last
yes.
year. Yeah.
And I you're like insistent, like order.
Yeah,
and I ordered one, they didn't bring it.
Yeah.
And then your mom was like, I got this.
She went up, she's like, where's her drink?
Robin got me. And it was like a chocolate martini.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God.
But we ended up taking
it was like a freaking milkshake.
Yeah, but we took inspiration for that. And one of the cocktails in my book is that now. Like it's a raspberry chocolate martini.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have some of those.
I know. We should.
That came out funny.
That
my mouth.
Did, but... Oh, man. All right.
All right.
We're doing a WWU today.
We haven't done a Wild, Weird, and Unknown in a long time.
I guess I should say the full thing. It's more you and I abbreviate that when we're talking.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, no.
Let me move on. WWU. Wild, Weird, and Unknown, because we...
Are Wild, Weird, and Unknown?
Are Wild, Weird, and Unknown.
Yes, we are. But yeah, so basically where we find stories on the interwebs and read them.
We should put like a suggestion box on Instagram because I want... I know we make these a regular thing, but for next year's calendar, I was putting them every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that spacing. Uh-huh. So we should do like a, you guys write in, like,
oh, yeah,
do a
tell
suggestion
us what we think.
Box,
yeah,
and give suggestions for Wild.
Well, because it's mainly Reddit stories, which is good. But then we also, I think both of us grabbed a couple that were not Reddit today.
Yeah.
But it's always a struggle, like, reading someone else's writing. So there,
it really is.
It's always one of those bear with us because,
yeah,
you know, no matter how many times I pre-read it.
Oh. No, because you read it as it's written, and it sometimes it just doesn't sound, yeah, right.
People don't know punctuation. What was that joke? You said it on here, and it was like about punctuation, and it was like,
I like to eat my friends and punctuation, or not use punctuation, or not, something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's then. That's how these are.
So. Oh no, I like to eat out my friends.
There it is. That's it. Even worse.
I was like, wait, I thought it was dirty.
Oh God,
man. All right, well, I'll start out today. I found a bunch of stories from the Washington Trails Association, and the article is called Spooky Trails Tales from the Trail, and it's an article from 2021. So I thought this was cool because we're in Washington, and mm-hmm. so it's spooky stuff in Washington.
I love that.
So I will start out here. This first story is by Andrea Immler. And it goes, a number of years ago, I was backpacking in a remote area of the Passayton Wilderness. Is that how you say that, Miss Washingtonian?
No fucking idea. I've never even heard that.
Passayton Wilderness with my partner. After dinner one evening, we were sitting above a valley looking out at the surrounding peaks. It was getting dark out. The air was still, not even a breeze. While sitting there, we suddenly heard the sound of many hooves hitting the ground below us. The sound was louder than deer hooves and sounded like horse hooves coordinating in a pack string. Even though it was nearly dark out, we didn't see any headlamps or lights around. But we're camped high up on the butt.
The butte. I was like, what? Nemo touched the butt. That reminds me of
the butt. We were camped high up on a butte and fairly open, but we didn't see anyone. Earlier in the day, we had noticed an old trail below us that must have meandered down into the valley we were sitting above. We assumed that a group might have dropped into the valley. The next day, I walked down that old trail. The ground was pretty soft and the tread was starting to fill with grass, but there were no hoof prints. We never saw anyone during the 2 days we spent up in the butte in the Passayton Wilderness. To this day, we have no idea what created the loud sound of hooves hitting the ground. I call it a ghost horse.
Oh, I thought you said a ghost whore. And I was like,
ghost
same.
Whore.
Okay, ghost horse.
Ghost horse.
That's interesting. But it could be also, okay, words.
Elk?
Mm-mm. It's going to come to me. It's paranormal. We talk about it all the time.
Oh my God. Energy.
Yes, residual energy. Yeah. Like as in something
like something had happened
right
there.
And that's what they're hearing. Like maybe there was like a tribal and war and people on horses or
there's
back
no
in the
wild horses in Washington. So that wouldn't have been.
Are there
it.
Not?
I don't think so. Are there?
Maybe
way out east.
Well, yeah, out in like the east side, because there's lots of like flat plains over there, but not over in this area.
No, definitely not over here. But yeah. Even so, there were no hooves.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And that's a pretty distinct sound.
No,
it's
for
like when you hear somebody walking up the stairs and there's nobody there.
Right. I mean, I feel like I was going to do this story, but I think I'm going to go to this different one because it kind of is along the same lines, just talking about, hang on, let me see if I didn't lose it.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to go with one that is a news article, but it's from Australia.
Ooh.
And I am curious if this is going to tie into something that Sausage talked to us about, but we're going to go with this. So the article is titled, Min Min Lights, Is There a Scientific Explanation for the Mysterious Phenomenon?
Oh, he's talked about this.
Yeah.
Min Min Lights.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is just someone's experience
okay.
of seeing them. So Min Min Lights are mysterious phenomenon that have spooked many people in outback of Australia. But there is there scientific proof that Min Min Lights exist, or simply an Aboriginal folktale that has been passed down for generations? The lights have been described as witnesses as floating, fast-moving balls of color that glow in the night sky and stalk people. No,
ooh.
We haven't heard this one.
I've heard of Min Min Lights, but maybe not
no, this,
from
we
him.
Heard about an alien thing off the coast of somewhere. That's the one we talked about with him, I think.
Mm.
Leaving some confused and frightened. Sometimes the lights are blue and other times they are white or yellow. In Queensland, the Balia Shire Council notifies visitors in the interest of tourism that they are on the land of the Min Min Lights and that they may spot them as they drive for the next 120 kilometers. There's actually a sign. There you go. So
wow.
In the Kimberley in Western Australia, some Aboriginal people believe that Min Min Lights were the spirits of elders. As a kid growing up, you know, they would say Min Min Lights were old people's spirits looking down on the country. And if
that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and if you lived in the Kimberley, you would have experienced the lights.
What area is that in? The Kimberley.
I believe, so where is this? Western Australia? Ooh, this would be like on the coast, on the left side.
On the left side?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know exactly where. But Mr. Birch has not seen the Min Min lights for 2 years, but he said the lights tend to distract people and takes them off their chosen path. It was quoted as saying, "We were heading back into town after hunting, and I was driving towards town when all of a sudden a Min Min light appeared. We all stared at the light, and all of a sudden we were going the opposite way, going back into the bush, following the lights without even realizing it."
Mm-hmm. So you automatically start following them, not even...
Yep, and so there are people who have researched it. Some people think that it could be bioluminescent insects, owls, or birds. But
a bioluminescent bird?
I know, I've never heard of it.
Bioluminescent insects, comma.
Owls, comma, or like, birds.
Are they saying that the fowl is bioluminescent?
He's saying it maybe it rolled around in the bioluminescence. I've only ever heard that was in
the ocean.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't
know.
Maybe
they went for a swim.
Yeah, they dove down.
I can see a bug being bioluminescent.
But also, I don't know.
Maybe they ate the bioluminescent stuff.
Yep. In 2015, writer and director named Jubb Clark... directed
Jubb?
Jubb. It sounds like it's a girl. Interesting. I don't know. Okay, in 2015, she directed a short film called Min Min Lights based on her own experience of the lights where she was growing up in Pilbara. Don't know where that is, but... so she said, when I was a young girl, I was lying in my backyard and these lights came down. Two of them came down in front of me and then suddenly shot off and I was in awe.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it could be our spirits that look after the country. Who knows what it is? I like to think that there's more to life than we think. But there's tons of stories of people seeing these. So that is cool. Like people camping
cool.
and seeing them is like what the thing, like all kinds of things.
Did
so,
we say what we're talking about today?
I did at the beginning. Yeah. Paranormal camping experience.
Yes. Or
hiking camping experience.
Yes.
Outdoors, whatever. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I guess this doesn't, this just has the people who are like traveling and seeing them, but like it ties in a bunch of people when they're out in the outback, they see them. And it sends them awry. I mean, I kind of feel like we need to look into this a little bit more. This kind of seems cool.
100%.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wanted to say it because it was like...
I don't know if that's like a cryptid campfire or if that's just like a thing. Let's see if we how much information we can find out because I'm sure there's like a huge history
on it. I'm sure there is.
And like,
yeah, all right, Sausage, let us know if you know anything about this. Maybe we need to have him on for some Min Min Lights.
Min Min Lights.
I mean, I don't know. Those are cool. And that sounds... It like for people to say it disorients them and that
it's like the will o' the wisps.
Oh
Lord.
Good Lord. What the hell
Good
was that?
Lord,
this is some burpy cider.
It's a very burpy cider.
But yeah, I thought that was a very like
I like that one.
Well, and it was just an article, so it doesn't really count as our wild, weird, and unknown, but it also like
No,
just,
I think it does.
But it intrigued me because I was like, I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. Me have never heard when I first looked at it, I was like, maybe it's those things that we saw and then no, it's absolutely not. So
But the thing is that I have learned is that it's like Bigfoot. All different parts of the world have different mystical lights.
Right.
Little balls of light.
That's true. Like
you know,
orb
like
kind
orbs
of
or wisps or things things like that.
Yeah, and you just don't know.
Did you get the sense that they were nefarious at all?
Not from this specific article, but there's so many encounters with them that... This
but
is
it's
just
weird
like
that they're like specific colors.
So yeah, specific colors. Like the pictures show that. Like if you're at home on the YouTubes, and it's just I don't know, just interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
I mean, the fact that they have a sign that like warns people of it, like does that not like, and it's not a joke sign.
No.
So
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I bet. I bet Sausage has some like either has or knows somebody who's experienced.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah. I mean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Crazy.
I like that one.
Well, there you go.
All right. My next one, I'm sticking with the Washington Trails Association. This one's called The Mayonnaise Man, and it's by Emily Snyder, who's a part of the Puget Sound crew. She's a Puget Sound crew leader.
Okay.
So that's in our neck of the woods. So a couple years ago, late in the fall, my friend Liz and I were hiking the Pratt River Trail. The trail is long and lonely, winding through old second growth forest that follows a 1930s logging railroad grade. The trail is littered with artifacts from the logging era and we were enjoying exploring. The forest was dark and dense. We hadn't seen another soul all day. By lunchtime, we were almost 9 miles back from the trailhead, deep in the heart of the river valley. It was raining lightly, so Liz and I ducked off the trail to find a dry spot under some low-hanging branches of a cedar tree. We couldn't see the trail or much of anything else besides each other and the cedar boughs, but it felt cozy, so we spread out on lunch to eat. I had a tuna packet and a separate mayonnaise packet, and Liz had a sandwich she was adding mayonnaise to as well. I had Hellman's. She had Kraft. And we, like you do when you're hiking, had a long lunch conversation about the best mayonnaise brands.
Hellman's. Hands down.
Hellman's?
Hellman's.
I mean, I just get Winco brand, if I'm being honest.
Oh my God, I could never. I need Best Foods. Well, actually, Best Foods is the best. Well, isn't best that Hellman's? Foods? Hellman's Best? I don't know.
I have no idea. Best,
yeah, no. It has to be the one with the yellow label, blue top.
But it has to be real mayonnaise, not salad dressing.
No.
I grew up, I didn't even know real mayonnaise was a thing until I was an adult. Because
what?
Not that we were big mayonnaise eaters, but my dad only bought the salad dressing mayonnaise. So that's, and I never liked it because what, it's like sweet.
Wait, you mean like Miracle Whip?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Bill grew up eating.
Yeah.
And my family, big mayonnaise people. Big mayonnaise people. Like, it's my favorite one. My mom makes me a sandwich because the amount of mayonnaise that woman slaps on there is something that I could never do for myself.
But if mom does it,
she's making my sandwich, I cannot tell her no.
You can't say, geez, send it back for less mayo.
Yeah, no, I want extra mayo. I love mayo. Anyways, and yeah, the Best Foods. Best Foods is the best, right. In my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Hellman's Best, I think they're the same, pretty sure.
They might be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I get Winco brand.
Yeah. And I will buy that occasionally if I'm making like a dip or something and I don't want to like, because it's that brand's definitely more expensive.
Yeah.
But like, it depends because certain dips, then I can taste the difference.
As long as it's not Miracle Whip.
No.
The salad dressing stuff.
Fuck no.
Yeah. No. It's sweet.
Yeah.
When I tasted real mayonnaise, I was like, oh my, this is actually good.
No. Yeah. Ugh. Miracle Whip's terrible. That's all Bill will eat. And Tex likes it too sometimes, like a bologna sandwich with Miracle Whip on it.
It's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
so weird. I don't like it.
Okay. So I'm glad we got that talk out of the way.
Yeah.
Because we needed to know our thoughts and opinions on mayonnaise.
I mean, if you ask Shannon, she's screaming at us right now because Shannon is really... We got in a fight about mayonnaise one time.
You did?
Well, she got really mad at me because I forgot mayonnaise for a hot dog. And it was a huge fight. It was a huge fight.
For a what now?
Oh, yeah. Well, you put a mayonnaise on a hot dog for sure. It's like a sandwich because the hot dog's in between. Like, it's a sandwich. It's meat between two pieces of bread. It is a sandwich. That's what she said.
Actually, you know... I've never had mayonnaise on a hot dog myself, but I do have a friend whose son, whenever we get together for a barbecue, they literally dip the hot dog in.
I don't know that I dip it, but I do put it on the bun. But I do have to say to you that you typically like everything that I like
when
it comes
to food. Yeah, sure, I'd like it.
I'm telling you.
You guys got me onto those cheddar dogs.
The best.
I had one the other night.
They're so good.
The like Johnsonville cheddar, mm-hmm. better cheddar, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
And those
so freaking
with
good.
Mayonnaise and then... Then I do the hot dog, ketchup, onion.
Oh, I do
cheese.
A shitload of onion.
Yeah,
I
cheese.
Love onion.
Me too. And
cheese on the cheese dog?
Absolutely. Is there ever enough cheese?
There's never too much.
That's what I was going to say. Is there such thing as too much
there's
cheese?
There's no such thing as too much
exactly.
cheese.
Exactly. It gives you a dopamine hit. The cheesus does.
Oh,
it's like meth,
cheese.
Like
all
crack.
Cheese. All cheese.
All
too.
Cheese, yeah.
You got the Gouda.
Yeah. Oh, God. Should we go? Just kidding. No.
No, fuck. We've done this before.
We have.
I'm reading somebody's story. Cheese.
Cheeses?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Back to the story.
Okay. So talk about the best mayonnaise brands, where we got our packets, and how long they keep. If you could bring jarred mayonnaise on a backpacking trip, what we like to add them to, and the utter injustice of Miracle Whip pretending to be mayonnaise. So literally the conversation that we just had.
I feel very validated.
Yes, yeah, same. When we were done eating, we packed up and bushwhacked our way back to the trail. As we came out of the trees, there above the trail on a large rock was one solitary full-size jar of mayonnaise. We hadn't seen or heard anyone. The jar had not been there when we went off the trail for lunch. Someone had heard us and left us a gift, a creepy, let's get the heck out of here kind of gift. We booked it back to the trailhead and ever since referred to this generous gifter as the mayonnaise man.
What gift?
They left a jar. They walked back out and there was a jar
of
mayonnaise.
Oh, jar of mayonnaise. That's fucking creepy as fuck.
Just sitting there.
No, that's creepy as fuck.
Is it a ghosty mayonnaise?
But like, what could that have been? Like someone listening to their conversation and like had a jar of mayonnaise, but like, Oh, is that
literally?
There's
a picture of the jar of mayonnaise.
Dude, that's fucking weird.
It's a jar of mayonnaise.
That's fucking weird. But that's creepy.
I like it.
Okay. By the way, I just pulled up another thing about the Min Min lights. I'm just going to go back to it real fast
because
it was the other part of the story that I was going to read and I forgot. It's just one about a group of campers in Queensland, which is like on the other side of the country from where we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. They noticed the lights hovering off in the distance while they were camping, and they thought it was a car in the distance, but it was moving strangely, bobbing and weaving and sometimes splitting into two.
Oh, weird.
As they watched the light begin to approach their campsite, it got closer and the air became colder. Panicking, they grabbed their flashlights, but no matter how bright they shined them, the Min Min lights remained untouched, floating eerily in place. Then without warning, it shot off into the distance and disappeared. Locals say that people who try and chase the lights never catch them, and some never return. Scientists believe the phenomenon may be caused by atmospheric refraction, but for those who've seen the lights firsthand, the mystery remains unsolved. Which, you know, I think it's supernatural. That sounds supernatural. Like you said,
it does sound supernatural.
There's all kinds of stuff like orbs and whatever, like alien, interdimensional.
Unless it is some sort of refracting light in certain conditions that happens all over the world.
Yeah, which absolutely could. But
I don't think that's anything that's been proven.
No.
But it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
But also, like, I feel like that is so hard to, like, I don't know. I know how light works because of photography, and, like, how does it just come out of the dark? That doesn't make sense to me. Light is literally, like...
It has to have a source.
Yeah. It's the reflection of... Yeah. It has to bounce off something, essentially, to be seen. Like, everything... Like, that's how you see things, is, like, light's reflecting off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just, you know? I don't know. Anyways, all right. So this is a horrifying hiking experience looking for answers. So just today, my friend and I were hiking on some abandoned and unused land. It was really beautiful with lakes, cliffs, and tons of trees. The hike was going really well, but close to dark, it turned around. My friend whispered to me that they had been thinking of a skinwalker and couldn't stop. This got me thinking of the same, and we decided to head back to the car and eliminate the risk. A few minutes into the hike back, we both got a horrible feeling, and it became apparent that we were not alone. We kept making our way back to the car as fast as we could, and it kept getting worse. Both of us experienced blurred vision, and the air suddenly got thick and had a hum to it. It also became incredibly hard to move, and we both experienced the intense urge to lay down and stopped hiking. We came across an area that we hadn't hiked through yet, but it was adjacent to where we... Hang on. We came across an area we hadn't yet hiked through, but was adjacent to where we were, I'm guessing.
To where we were, yeah.
Yep. And there were so many deer prints in every direction as if a deer had been rapidly pacing through there, and human footprints on the other side of the scramble. There wasn't a clear starting point to the footprints and no evidence of other hikers on that mile or on... I think he's trying to say 4 miles. The trek back to the car seemed like 5 minutes and 3 hours simultaneously. So we have no clue how long it took. Neither of us have felt a sense of dread or been disoriented before. Do you think we had a close encounter with a skinwalker? Or was it something else entirely? I do not have background or knowledge to say exactly what it could be, but we are in eastern Kansas, if that helps. Any information or ideas are appreciated. Now, this was my favorite response. You ready for this?
Yes.
Were you guys hunting and fishing or clearing new paths, talking bad about animals or making plans to hunt or fish in the future? Did you kill anything? Did you take souvenirs? Any of these things could piss off some elemental spirits.
Ooh, elemental.
Uh-huh. And someone said, in revisiting a comment on this post, looking for some thoughts and advice, I do recall that we picked up some bones we wanted to look at, but we left them where we found them.
Interesting.
Well, still disturbing the peace of the dead, disturbing final resting spots may have been enough to make something mad. Always be kind and respectful of nature. These things are highly intelligent entities and can read and control the human brain. They can be deadly obvious. Have you ever seen paranormal stuff happening at home? What about your friend? And he said, we've never had any of the above.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So who knows?
How do you feel about like the whole skinwalker thing?
About like saying the word skinwalker?
No, just like the story, the lore.
I just think that people classify everything as a skinwalker when...
I think that's where... I think what you're saying is where I land.
Yeah, it's everyone classifies it. And then we did an episode on them and that is obviously... And then someone corrects them here and says, you know, Navajo tradition and so, like of saying what skinwalkers are is that's not what people call them, but they come from the Navajo, and those were like witches essentially, who would, but what people think they are basically like, we said the name, like things that transform into other things.
It's like a Wendigo, but it's not. Like,
but
that's
not
a different lore.
But we call, I know we did an episode and we called them something, shapeshifters.
Yeah.
They're shapeshifters, essentially. But people call them skinwalkers, and I don't know where the two, like, crossed, because the what they were known to, like, the Navajo people and, like, the, like, traditional is not what people call it now. So it's just interesting. So I don't...
I think that's like with a lot of things. People lump it all together.
Yeah, but it's like I do think that he's talking about like a shapeshifter situation, or I mean the guy saying the elemental actually makes sense. Like,
yeah, an elemental.
Like what Nikki said, if you have a house with an elemental, burn it down and move.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I need to look more into elementals.
I mean, I feel like doing an episode on that would be
really
interesting.
I think that would
be
really interesting.
I mean, I don't want to, maybe we should ask if we're allowed, if we can.
I think we can.
Just, I don't want to bring anything.
Oh, no.
I don't like it.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't like it. By the way.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Anybody who's listened to us for a long time has heard us discuss that when we were in my office upstairs and we would record up there, the door handle would shake and jiggle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you remember the door handle would shake and jiggle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just recently moved my oldest child into that room.
Uh-huh.
And I have never said that to her, like, because that would freak my kids out. They wouldn't
ever go in there. No.
And that door, you and I have messed with it, and it is not an easily, like, it's a very wedged door. Like, to open it,
you
have to put force behind it because it's, like, wedged
at the
top.
It won't just open.
Nope.
Like, and I have doors in my house that'll just open, depending on the time of year.
And they don't shut properly or whatever, but this one is a very tight-fitting door.
And it always has been.
And so the other day, she comes to me, and she goes, Mommy, I know you probably won't believe me, but the handle of my door keeps jiggling. And I went out, I opened it. There was no cats there. Like, you guys were all downstairs. I was like, was your window open? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just come cleanse your room. The next day she comes back. She's like, Mommy, it did it again today. And I was like, okay. She's like, I know you don't believe me. And I was like, no, I 100% believe you, because it happened to Meg and I all the time when we were recording in there. I was like, it honestly is what held me back from wanting you to be the one to go into that room, because my youngest wouldn't have any like thing about it, where I was hoping that it was tied to us in this, but now I do wonder. So we need to cleanse that shit.
Yeah,
we need to cleanse that shit.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be where we would pause. You could see it in the video, and we would wait for a kid to come in the door,
and nothing would happen.
And nothing.
And
would
she's
happen.
Going through that. She's like, I opened the door. There's no cat. And I mean, and I fully believe her, because
I've 100%.
Witnessed it. We've witnessed it so many
multiple times.
But I'm like, oh.
But now that we're down here, we literally have boxes flying off of the shelf.
Yeah.
And
literally. Remember when we saw someone? And there was no one. You and I both did.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We can't see right now because now we have a light in our face, but we could see out of the curtain a little bit, and we saw like a silhouette of what we thought was Tex walking across, and we heard the door open.
And there was nobody there.
No.
And that was fun.
No, no,
so anyways, yeah, I need to cleanse my house again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe better.
And new moon.
And yeah. When is that? Today? No, there's an eclipse or a new moon something on one of these days.
There's a new moon coming.
Anywho.
So this one is from Reddit, and it's by, it's Kisser, not Kisser. I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe that's their last name, is K-I-S-E-R. Maybe, I don't know. My husband and I were just discussing this again, meaning paranormal experiences while hiking, because it's a total WTF experience that makes me throw up my hands when I talk about it, but it's led me to all sorts of internet deep dives periodically. 3 years ago, we hiked the TCT with a friend. One night, we were nestled in a super cool spot on Death Canyon Shelf, our backs to the sheer face of rock. A raging thunderstorm came through as we were sleeping, and I've never heard such loud sounds reverberating off the cliffs. Terrifying and awe-inspiring. Anyway, I'm a light sleeper, so I was awake a lot of the night. It was pouring ice-cold rain, and that turned into sleet that blanketed our tent and camp. Sounds like they got the more of a storm than we got yesterday.
Yeah, seriously.
That's what we were expecting, something along those lines. Around 3:30 in the morning, when I was lying there completely awake, I heard what sounded like a woman's voice. It sounded enough in the distance that it wasn't as if she were in our camp, but close enough that I could clearly catch that she was singing a melody, a completely haunting song that sounded like mourning, like an old folk song in another language. I told my husband and friend the next morning it sounded like a sad yodeling, ridiculous, I know, but it was very throaty, beautiful, and haunting. Now I wonder if it was possibly an old native song. It was 3:30 in the morning during a raging thunderstorm and sleet storm. If by chance, by some chance, some poor soul even happened to be hiking past, they would not have even been singing. Pounding sleet, rain, and very close together, pearls of thunder and lightning were everywhere. But and we were so far off the trail, it couldn't have been somebody hiking. There were no sites occupied near us. I know I may get roasted, but this was so peculiar, and it was one of those I swear I know what I heard experiences.
Interesting.
That one I totally believe.
Oh, 1,000%.
But there's also birds that mimic songs,
no, that's
too.
True.
Like regular birds, like but all
in,
corvids.
But
can
in
do that.
A storm like that?
But in a storm, to
yeah,
be
birds
able to
are
hear that,
hiding.
That's what tells me paranormal, because if it was able to cut through the sound of
yes.
the storm,
1,000%.
Then that would be paranormal.
1,000%.
Right?
I mean, that's what I think, because if it's storming that bad, like, how do you hear that? You know
right.
how loud the rain is, especially on a tent, on a, like on
right.
the floor, like, or the floor, the ground,
and
whatever.
And they're in a canyon,
yeah.
too, like, the howling wind, and...
That seems as though that might be paranormal in my professional
opinion. Oh, 100%.
Opinion.
I think that would be paranormal.
I have one kind of similar, but... A little short, but...
Okay.
Okay. So, this is from... Deleted. I think they deleted their name. So
okay.
Perfect. Was camping alone at a nearby lake in my late teens. I'd basically bushwhacked it to a remote part of the woods just off the shoreline to the lake. I grew up hiking and camping wherever I could go, so I was used to noises and the calls of animals and the sounds that the woods make at night. Sometime after I fell asleep, long enough for a small fire embers to die, I woke up to this immediate awareness that I was not alone. I couldn't hear much over the bug noises of summer, but then I heard voices off behind me.
Ooh.
I slowly threw as much dirt and rock off into what was left of the fire and waited. Sounded like someone whispering or talking low. I strained my ears, but the harder I listened, the more everything began to meld together. At one point, it sounded like they were to my left, and then minutes later, directly to my right. And once it sounded like the voices were tuning in and out like a radio, kind of quiet, then suddenly kind of louder. I laid there motionless for hours. I fell asleep a few hours after the sun was starting to come up, and when I woke up again, I just packed my stuff and crept back out of the woods. Just did not feel right. I haven't felt it since, thankfully.
I'm surprised you spent the night.
I mean...
Continued spending the night.
Well, but like...
But
what
are
you going
yeah,
to do?
Yeah,
it's dark. Like, yeah.
I can picture that they're like...
Yeah.
You
no.
know?
But,
and where it surrounds you.
Which that's creepy. And what could that be? You
I
know?
I mean, if he didn't say there was a storm and he didn't say there was wind.
Yeah, but that...
And, but you audible, like something audible.
Something audible. You, and like you said, could be birds of certain kinds, but not like this.
Not like that.
Not like the back and forth and the whispers and the...
No, the whispers,
you know,
and how it like came and went.
Uh-huh.
Or tuned in like a radio.
Uh-huh. And that's...
That could be... like Stone Tape Theory. That could be
could,
something
well,
replaying
yeah.
because
oh, for
it
sure.
sounded like a replay
yeah.
almost.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, something interdimensional that's like they're
Ooh.
Watching or like, I don't know.
Or does it even know? Does it even know it's there? Could it be something happening simultaneously in a different dimension?
Oh, timeline? Yeah. Different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something where other people are and you just happen to be like at a place that was more vulnerable. I don't
yeah.
know. So.
Ooh, that one's a good one. I'm trying to find another good one.
I have another good one if you want me to. But this is another one that I fear is going to lead us to have to research this more, if you would like.
Do it. I had one, but it was kind of along the lines of the mayonnaise man, except potatoes.
Ooh. He's leaving taters.
Taters.
Left the taters behind. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Read that one.
So, I said, this is from Wikipedia, is like the story that's told, but also this is a thing from Scotland. And this is someone's experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the... Big Gray Man of Ben MacDooy. Would that be MacDooy?
I think that sounds like MacDooy.
Okay. Ben MacDooy, the tallest peak in the Cairngorms of Scotland, is home
oh,
to one
nice.
Of the country's most terrifying legends. Am Fear Lieth More, or the
Ooh.
Big Gray Man.
Ooh.
Can you say that with your Scottish accent for everybody at home?
Am Fear Lieth More.
There you go. I needed that. Professor J. Norman Cully, an experienced mountaineer, recounted his own horrifying encounter in 1891. This is a long time ago. As he descended the peak in thick mist, he heard a heavy, deliberate footsteps following him. Always one step behind. Panic set in and he quickened his pace, but the footsteps did the same. Terrified, he sprinted down the mountain, convinced he was being chased by something unseen. Others have reported glimpses of towering, shadowy figures with an oppressive presence that fills hikers with dread. Some claim it's a trick of the mind, while others insist it's the big gray man, and he is very real. Those who have felt his presence describe an overwhelming fear and sometimes leading them to flee in terror. Whether it's a ghostly being, a cryptid, or an illusion, the legend of the Big Gray Man remains one of the most unsettling hiking mysteries in Scotland. Right?
Now, could it be one of those things where a story creates something to be real?
Oh, 1,000%. But
so that's where it says a trick of the mind. Like, if you're expecting it.
I mean, but that's also, like, it can manifest. Like, yeah. So then it's real now. But, yeah, there's so many stories, too, that people have of this. If you type in The Big Gray Man of Ben MacDooie, which I did look at it.
Ben MacDooie.
That was a fun one to say.
That's a fun one. That is a fun one.
Big Gray Man of so yeah, there's encounters like going back all the way to the 1970s, all the way up to like current day. Like people just have different, like, here's pictures of what people are saying. Like, that looks like that's an optical illusion to me. Yeah, like, that doesn't look like anything. But
this sounds like a legend that became real through enough belief.
Yeah,
that's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So many people are saying, like, that people will go up there and they will, some people will just see a gray shadow or a gray figure, and
interesting.
And so many people that are not connected to each other have similar experiences, is what they say. Like, there's lots of uncanny, you know, same thing that people are saying that they had no idea another person experienced. So you never know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I have a more of a, is this paranormal? Is this one true crime? Sometimes the two intermingle, right?
Okay.
All right. So this is from Reddit. Several years ago, a friend and I went on a multi-day hiking trip during winter. While prepping for the trip, I found a forum dedicated to the trail we were hiking and several threads about people going missing on it. Most of the members blamed the hikers themselves, saying that they were most likely inexperienced, would-be adventurers who went off the trail and gotten lost. There was an old man on the forum that claimed he completed the trail once a year for the past 50 or so years, and he believed there was something more sinister behind these disappearances. Naturally, the other members laughed at him. We set off on the trail before sunrise to get as many miles in as possible on the first day. That entire day, we only met one other person, a friendly middle-aged man who lived somewhat locally. He seemed impressed that we were taking on the trail in winter and even invited us to camp near his property, but we declined and pressed on. The night we were surprised by a pretty dangerous terrain around the edge of the lake and took the decision to sleep in our bivy sacks. I'm assuming that's a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I would assume so.
In our bivy sacks. Under an overhanging rock. Not exactly ideal camping conditions, but given the potential hazards, we felt this was the smartest choice. I didn't sleep well at the best of times in a bivy sack. And if you've ever been zipped into one, you'll know how claustrophobic it can feel. The rock hanging over my head didn't help either. A few hours after I did eventually manage to fall asleep, I woke up suddenly to the sound of my friend shouting and swearing at me. I popped my head out of the bivy and saw that he was still zipped inside. He had somehow gotten off the level ground we were sleeping on and was slowly sliding down toward the lake as if someone were dragging him.
What?
I got up quickly out of the bivy sack and with great effort was able to get him back up the ledge onto flat ground. He was absolutely furious with me, claiming that he felt me drag him, but soon calmed down and accepted that I was still in my bag.
That's scary.
That's interesting.
We didn't go back to sleep and instead had some coffee and breakfast while waiting for the sun to come up. When we did set off, it started raining heavily and didn't stop for most of the day. I was also having some trouble with an old injury in my leg, which slowed us down. The sun seemed to disappear rather suddenly near the top of a steep hill. And so we decided to camp there, this time in a tent. After a rough couple of days, we were glad to be inside of a tent. The ground underneath us was actually not bad. I remember my friend expressing his disappointment that he'd forgotten to pack his iPad and then we tried to sleep. Soon after, I began to hear what sounded like human footsteps. I thought to myself, surely there isn't someone else out here climbing up this hill at night. The sound continued, and the more intently I listened, the more I became certain of what I was hearing. I poked my head out of the tent, and the sound stopped. I got out to pee and looked around, not a soul in sight. Shortly after getting back into the sleeping bag in the tent, the footsteps started again. And this time, they started circling our tent. By this point, I was pretty frightened, and I asked my friend, are you hearing this? He responded, yes, I'm fucking hearing this.
Yeah.
Knowing that he had been hearing this the entire time and sounded and knew what it sounded like freaked me out even more. We both were pretty terrified. We got out of the tent again and asked if anyone was there. But again, the sound around the tent stopped as soon as we poked our heads out. We got back in. The footsteps around the tent continued for quite some time. As soon as the sun came up, we packed up our things, got off the trail, and hiked to the nearest village.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I mean, this seems like it was a pretty remote trail.
Yeah.
Had somebody been following them?
I mean.
But he saw the guy being dragged down the hill.
Right.
And the guy, this makes me think of a shapeshifter.
Yes.
or a mimic or something.
Right.
Because the guy that was being dragged said he was doing it.
Yeah. Maybe I would go mimic, shapeshifter, something along those lines.
But something from the land.
I mean. Yeah.
That's terrifying. It's when you get touched is when.
No, that's when it's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's when it's fucked up.
That's when I start to get a little heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. Well, same. We don't want to. No touching.
No touching. No touching.
No touching.
No touching.
No touchies.
What's that from?
No idea.
No touching.
What?
Arrested Development.
Oh, I don't watch that show.
I know.
So good. I know. My husband would get it. Okay. Well, those were fun stories.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many when I was looking it up, like so many when you're out in the middle of the woods, man, are there some stories. And like, obviously some things can be explained away by nature. And
of course.
And, you know, when you're in your own head and you start thinking things, but there are,
and if you've been out there for a couple of days.
Right. Like, but there are certain things when people are like, seasoned hikers and they see something or they have something happen where they're like
footsteps around your tent.
That's
like that.
That's unacceptable behavior.
And there's a difference between sliding down a hill and being dragged. Like you feel the pull.
A huge difference.
Huge difference.
And you can tell if you're being touched by something. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a questionable thing. I mean,
correct.
It is kind of questionable, I guess, if you don't know what's touching you. But anyways. So, damn. Well, if you guys have had any crazy stories while you're hiking.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know. You know, write in to lunaticsouppodcast@gmail.com.
Or message us at lunaticsouppodcast on all the things, primarily Instagram. That's where we're best.
And, yeah, damn.
And if you have a wild, weird, and unknown topic you'd like us to cover, or if you, you know.
We're open to anything.
Even if you have a story that's like some sort of paranormal story, we could use that as a jumping off point.
Yep.
We're
open to whatever wild, weird, and unknown. It could be like anything that you think we'll be able to find good stories about on the internet.
Spiritual, aliens, anything.
Anything. So just let us know. But all right, you guys, go get yourself some lunatic soup.
And remember, in this crazy world,
it's good to be a lunatic.
Bye.
Bye.